The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you,
Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. There was a lot of people asking me about why we don't have Ascension Thursday on Thursday, and I thought we'd had that one figured out by now. So I was just going to start out by saying that there may be some who don't realize that this change took place in the U.S. calendar in 1999, when Ascension Thursday was moved to Sunday. There is a law in the church's canon law that says national conferences of bishops, who are the ones who assign holy days of obligation, national conferences of bishops can't assign obligation for a holy day under pain of mortal sin if people aren't able or aren't going to come, thereby causing them to sin. So for that reason, it was moved to the following Sunday, today, when people would attend the Mass. So if it seems strange that the novena to the Holy Spirit between Ascension and Pentecost is already on day number 3, that is why. Regardless of what day we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord, it is a very significant observance. Today is the day that, having completed all he himself could do on the earth in person, he ascends to the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come and the church can be formed in the Holy Spirit's principle of unity and peace. The Holy Spirit is love, is unity, is peace. In God's plan of salvation, it seems there are phases or periods at which different persons in the Trinity are active. Although all three persons of the Trinity are active and engaged at all times, salvation history seems to proceed uniquely at times according to each of the three. The time of the Father, creation to recreation in the incarnation of Jesus, his Son, is the time in which the Father, in his self-emptying creative love, brings into being his creation, and in particular, mankind, who he calls to a special friendship. It is the time of the covenant, mankind's time of struggle to be faithful, to acknowledge sinfulness, and to seek reconciliation that is not yet available. When it becomes clear to us that only God was going to be the one to save us, the Father initiates the time of the Son by giving up his only begotten. His son goes to work during the shortest period of time of the three, some 33 years, in which he makes known the Father and establishes the principle of unity by instituting the Eucharist. He reconfigures a humanity that is capable of divinity, God's divine life. He calls us to be the apostolic unity which he establishes in his own body, into which we become members. His period is the period of the sacraments, and we are called to encounter him in this time so as to be conformed to him. After his victory over death, he seems to have only one mission: to prepare us for the coming of his Spirit at Pentecost. In the Gospel of St. John, he comes to the apostles on resurrection morning and says, "Peace be with you." He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The other Gospels talk of a more extended time between the resurrection and the ascension, with various appearances and teachings. but all agree it is the peace that the world cannot give that Jesus now offers to us. I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but in the Mass after Jesus becomes present in the Eucharist, at the Eucharistic prayer, all the prayers are about unity and reconciliation and peace. Forgive us as we forgive each other. Deliver us from every evil and grant us peace in our day. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and grant her unity and peace according to your will. We offer each other a sign of peace. This time between the period of Jesus and the period of the Holy Spirit, between Ascension and Pentecost, we are literally asked to wait in a waiting room in between acts. Jesus told his disciples to pray and wait, and that is what we are doing today. But when you pray to God, to whom are you praying? Is it the Father? Of course, the Lord's Prayer is clearly something we continue to pray constantly. But we must not get confused that the Father is already accomplishing everything he is to do. To always pray for more would be to deny the fullness we have already received. Everything the Father has given to me, I have given to you, Jesus says. Or are we praying to Jesus? Of course. But again, hopefully not in such a way as to say that he also has not already given us everything. He has. The sacraments are, as St. Pope John Paul II said, beautifully wrapped gifts which we have received. The problem is that most people have been content with the pretty wrapping paper and never actually opened them. How often, though, have you prayed directly to the Holy Spirit? Ironically, I find that not many people do. Jesus, as a man, and the Father, who we have pictured as a grandfather, seem to be more accessible. How do you pray to a dove? Artists kind of got that one wrong, except it was a dove that descended over Jesus at his baptism, so there is a connection there. Also, the way we pray the Creed doesn't help. We don't actually say much about the Father, except that he is creator of heaven and earth. There is a lot said about Jesus and how he comes to be and what happens to him on earth. But when we come to the Holy Spirit, we just lump him in with things that seem to be left over. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. He's so much more than that. Even among the Eucharistic prayers of the Mass, Eucharistic prayer number one, which is also called the Roman Canon, which the Church used pretty exclusively for 1,500 years before Vatican II, makes no mention of the Holy Spirit at all. It doesn't really do justice to the third person of the Blessed Trinity, in whose period we are actively living now. It is he who is sent now to inform us, to guide us, to bind us together in unity, and bring peace to the world. He is needed now more than ever. During this time of waiting for the coming of the Spirit, pray to him. Thank him for the gift of divine life and his indwelling Spirit in you, by way of your initiation into the Church through baptism and confirmation. Like baptism, the mystery we celebrate is not something that is fulfilled by simply being baptized or coming to Pentecost. Baptism and Pentecost are only beginnings. Join with the Church this week in calling upon the Holy Spirit for a renewal, a new Pentecost. He can do it, to be sure. But we need to ask.